In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text is the reading from Matthew, which I've already read. Please be seated. Jacob wrestled with God all the way through the night, which must have been rather exhausting. In the end, God had given him a blessing, and with it, a change of his name. But Jacob did not walk away from this unscathed. In the course of the wrestling match, God touched Jacob's hip and put it out of joint. From that day on, Jacob walked around with a limp as a souvenir of this encounter. This is a beautiful foreshadowing of what we see in our gospel reading for today. Consider this. The Canaanite woman doesn't square off in a WWE match with Jesus, but she does wrestle with the Lord. Let's get acquainted with this woman. St. Matthew calls her a Canaanite. This means that she was descended from one of the ancient nations that the Israelites were ordered to exterminate because of their idolatry. Joshua was ordered to wipe them out completely, beginning with the destruction at the famous battle at Jericho. These were among the oldest enemies of the people of Israel. And so when Jesus comes into the district of Tyre and Sidon, we should pull up our mental Bible lands maps and realize that this is not Jewish territory. It is a region that is heavily populated with Gentiles. So it makes sense that Jesus would run into this woman here. It is not she who is out of place, but it is Jesus. She comes out crying to Jesus, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." Now there's a surprise. The Canaanite woman, whose ancestors were worshipers of false gods, calls Jesus the Son of David. This is a specific title for the Messiah of Israel that dates all the way back to the days of King David himself. During his reign, David began to make plans to build the temple in Jerusalem. But God had other plans for David's son Solomon to build it instead. But God, recognizing David's heart, sends the prophet Nathan to David to make David a great promise. He says, "When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up for you offspring after you who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son." With these words, God handed the promise that he'd made to Abraham, to Isaac, to our man Jacob from our Genesis reading for today. He handed that promise over to David. The Messiah was certainly to come from Israel, descended from Abraham, yes. But more specifically, he was to come from the house and lineage of David. And so by calling Jesus the Son of David, this foreign woman, or as the King James puts it, this strange woman, was making a clear confession of her faith in Jesus as Savior. But Jesus did not answer her a word. He said nothing. That's probably the second great surprise we find in this text. I can't think of one other time when Jesus seems so reluctant to help someone in the scriptures. So this is where our wrestling match really begins in earnest. For this woman is determined, and she will not be deterred. Although St. Matthew doesn't say so, I imagine that at this point she kept after Jesus because the disciples intervene on her behalf. Send her away. She keeps crying out after us. You imagine that she's continuing after Jesus saying, help me, help me. Have you ever been in this scenario? You cry out to God, you wrestle with him, but he doesn't answer you a word. Even your friends pray for you, as the disciples prayed for this woman, but you don't seem to get the answer that you're looking for. And maybe you don't get any answer at all. But when it seems like things can't get much worse than this, it does. Jesus finally speaks. I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Not even speaking to the woman, he responds to the disciples and says, I'm only here for the people of Israel. While this may surprise us, it is in keeping with what Jesus says a few chapters earlier in Matthew 10. He says to the disciples, go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Jesus, after all, is Israel's Messiah. This is where the devil gets some room to do his worst. Maybe Jesus doesn't answer our prayers because we are not of the house of Israel. After all, he is their Savior. What gives you, a Gentile, the right to call upon God? We actually saw this tactic used by the devil just last week. Remember? When Jesus was fasting in the wilderness, the devil came up to tempt him. We usually think that the first temptation for Jesus is to turn the stones into loaves of bread to satisfy his hunger. But the real first temptation is found in how the devil frames that temptation. He says, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones into loaves of bread. If you are the Son of God, is in itself a temptation. For right before Jesus went into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, what did he hear from his Father at his baptism? He said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. But despite this verbal stiff arm, the woman will not be deterred. She comes and kneels in front of Jesus and says, Lord, help me. Her plea for mercy becomes even more distilled. This is what faith does. It doesn't look at the outward circumstances of life to see whether or not God is good. It doesn't look inside of us to see if my feelings and my emotions say if God is good. Instead, it clings to God's word of promise. What exactly has God said? Well, Hebrews 13 says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus in Matthew 28:20 says, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus in Matthew 7 says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Faith knows that God cannot go back on his word, and so it looks only to Jesus' word. But Jesus is not yet moved. He says, it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. These two are hard words. Dogs are not viewed in the same way that we see them today. We think of them as part of the family. Maybe we even allow them on the furniture. But in the ancient world, dogs were unclean and wild animals. It seems that the Lord is determined to ignore this woman and to deny her request. But this woman isn't after the children's bread. She says, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." She doesn't want the bread that's intended for the children. She wants bread from the master's table. She'd even settle for the crumbs. In his sermon on this text, Luther has a beautiful insight for us. He says this, "Is not that a masterpiece? She clutches at Christ's own words. He compares her to a dog. She grants that and asks nothing more than he would let her be a dog, as he himself has judged her to be. Where could he go? He is captured. We let a dog have the crumbs under the table. That is its right. Therefore, he now completely opens his heart to her and yields to her his will, so that she is now not a dog, but a child of Israel." So far, Luther. In other words, she has caught Christ in his own word. Faith will not let go of Jesus' word. If God judges us to be dogs or sinners, so what? What does he say about sinners? St. Paul writes in 1 Timothy 1, "The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." If the woman had denied being a dog, then she put herself outside of God's word. If we deny that we are sinners, we deny the truth of God, and it does not abide in us. But we see here that God uses his law to condemn us in order that he would raise us up from the dead through the saving power of his gospel. And so Jesus answers this woman with some beautiful words. "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. In answering this way, Jesus does for this woman what he has done for Jacob. He wrestled with Jacob, wounded him, changed his name, and blessed him. Here, Jesus wrestled with this woman, wounded her, changed her identity from a Canaanite dog to a child of Israel, and blessed her. People loved by God, this is precisely how it is between us and God. He wrestles with you. Sometimes his countenance appears stern, and his prayers to your prayers to him are answered with a deafening no. But this is the God who uses the suffering of this life not to push us away, but to draw us closer to himself. This he does so that we don't look at just any old thing to see what our standing is before him. We cannot look at our health, or our finances, or our emotions, or whatever it might be to know how we are with God. He wrestles those idols away from us that we would look to him and to him alone for our salvation. And this same Jesus, who has wounded you by wrestling away your idols, has also changed you from a Gentile sinner to a dear child in the house of Israel. For as St. Paul says in his letter to the Romans, the Christian church is the true Israel of God. We have been grafted into the vine by God's grace alone. In the waters of holy baptism, he gave us a new name. Once we were not a people, but now we are a people who bear the name Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. As St. Peter writes, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And you, your brothers and sisters in Christ,
are, by virtue of your baptism, God's people. Therefore, he doesn't just give you the children's bread. He gives you, from his table, the bread of life, his very flesh to eat. For he is the bread of life, who gives more than crumbs to his people to eat. He gives his flesh to you, that in him you would have eternal life. And whoever feeds on this bread, Christ abides in him, and he in Christ. In Jesus' name. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord.